So in January, I found a lump on my left breast. I told nobody about it because I was assuming it would still come back as nothing. Then I was told that it was breast cancer and it's called triple negative and it's the most aggressive form of breast cancer. I did not make a sound. I just thought, okay, did she just say it's cancer? You know, did I not hear her right? So I kept quiet, no reaction. I was numb, but it's like I couldn't believe it, really. It,
like, showcased all of us that we serve a living God.
Mm.
And of course, God has many names as well, and they all have different meanings. As you keep mentioning that, like Jehovah Rapha, like we got to see that firsthand.
Yeah. Even if you serve God, it doesn't mean that you are never going to go through things. Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. And you know, one thing that stuck to me from service was that if it's not good yet, like it's not done. Hey guys, it's your girl Didi and you're tuned in to the Called Out podcast, where it's all things pertaining to Christ. So guys, today I have two special guests to my right. I have
Tina, your mom.
Philip, her brother.
Yes, so today, literally family episode, well, not the whole family, but two of them. I've got my mom and my brother here in the studio. So this first time literally having them on the podcast. Back in the day, I used to do episodes with them. I've done so many episodes with my mom. Not episodes, videos. I've done so many videos with my mom. So many funny ones. We've done dancing ones. We've just done so many amazing ones. Philip one, I also did some good videos with him. Like, I even forgot which ones we did. Like, solving dilemmas or something like that. But yeah. They've been on the channel, but on the podcast, they're new. So yeah, welcome them guys and let me know how you're thinking about them. But yeah, today's episode is going to be quite a deep one. So today we're going to be speaking about my mom and like God's literally divine, his healing, Jehovah Rapha literally healing my mom. And we're going to get into that and she's going to share from her side. And I brought Philip today because Philip is my brother in the faith, you know, well, he's my actual brother, my blood brother, but he's also my brother who is believer, you know, born again. So I'm just gonna, you know, get his side on this and obviously my side also. Obviously the main side is my mum's because this is her testimony, but it's also my testimony and his testimony, you know, because it's our mum. But yeah, if you guys are new, make sure you subscribe, like, comment, share and all those things. And if you're watching on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, make sure you follow me. But before we start, I'm just going to open us up in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in your name to share of your goodness, oh Heavenly Father, because your word says that where they're not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Today we've come back to be the ones who will come to give you back the glory, oh Heavenly Father. And we just want to pray that you will take control of this whole episode, oh God, that you will grant me utterance, that you'll grant my mom utterance, that you'll grant Philip utterance, oh God. You will speak through us, oh God. And through this episode, may it truly edify those who are listening, those who are watching. May it give them faith, oh God. May it encourage them to know that you are a God who still is in the business of healing, oh God, and still in the business of doing great and mighty things. So we just want to give you glory, Lord, and praise your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Cool. So as I said, today's episode is deep. We're going to be sharing the testimony of literally God healing my mother from cancer. So we're currently in October the 9th, but let's take us back to, you know, the beginning of the year and like how everything was and like when you obviously found the lump and what type of cancer and all that stuff. Yeah.
So in January, I found the lump on my left breast, but I've always had issues on that side. So I found a lump some years ago, went to my GP, I was referred to the hospital, they did various tests and it came back as nothing, normal. So when I found this one, I wasn't troubled, but it kept on growing. See, it wasn't going down, it didn't disappear. So I thought, okay, I'll just go to the GP and get it checked out. So even when I went to the doctor, I was apologizing and said, I'm sorry to waste your time. You know, but I found this lump. It's been a month and it's still there and it's growing. And so she checked and said, okay, I'll refer you to the hospital. So I didn't tell your dad. Obviously, I didn't tell you kids. I told nobody about it because I was assuming it would still come back as nothing. So why disturb your dad? He won't be able to eat. He won't be able to sleep. He'll be worried for nothing. So I went for the test, the biopsies, the scans, everything. And then at the end of all of that, then I was told that it was breast cancer, and it's called triple negative, and it's the most aggressive form of breast cancer.
Mm. So in that moment, because obviously you didn't tell us, you didn't tell obviously your dad, you didn't tell anyone. So it's like you was at that scan by yourself and obviously got the results. So how was that like? So did you got the results in person?
Yeah.
And then how was that like for you, like getting that result?
Well, when I went in and the doctor said, well, it's cancer, I did not make a sound. I just thought, okay, did she just say it's cancer? You know, did I not hear her right? So I kept quiet, no reaction. And then she turned abruptly and looked at me and said, were you expecting this diagnosis? And I said, no, I wasn't. And she, because I don't know what she was expecting, there was a nurse in the room with us, you know, like to support. And so my brain just kept on repeating, cancer, is she serious, cancer? I don't know anyone in my family that's had cancer, you know. So I was numb, but it's like I couldn't believe it really. Mm. And I was thinking, okay, I have to go home and tell your dad, you know, to tell my husband, but I cannot tell the kids. I have to keep it from the kids.
Mm. Yeah. So then like, yeah, what was it like when you told daddy and like, obviously, why didn't you tell us?
So I got home and he came back from work. So he went upstairs to change and I followed him. And I said, well, I need to tell you something. So over the past 2 weeks plus, I've been going to the hospital for all these various checkups. And I was told this evening that it's breast cancer. And he was just shocked immediately. He said, cancer, are you sure? I said, yeah, that's what I was told. He said, what are they going to do about it? I said, they said I'm going to start chemo. Mm. I said, well, you can't tell the kids because all of them have got things they're doing at the moment. Mm. Philip was studying some exam, you know, yeah, so that he can be in this finance body. He's constantly studying. You were doing your apprenticeship, so you were studying for exams. Mm. And I will ask you that, is that it? Now, have you finished? You say, no, you still have projects. And the younger one was doing his mocks and then his GCSEs. And I thought, I can't let what's happening to me temporarily affect you guys in the long run permanently. And me growing up as a young kid, whenever my mom was sad, we had to be sad by force. Mm. So if she was upset over something and we were playing because we're young, she'll be furious that how dare you be playing? How dare you be happy when I'm sad? So anytime she was there crying, we had to cry. We don't know why she was crying, but we had to force ourselves. If not, she'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
So I thought, because I'm going through this, why should I inflict it on my kids? Mm. I just wanted you guys to be normal, because ignorance is bliss, not know what I'm going through, and just move on with your lives. Mm. You know, so I think my childhood also played into that. That because if I told you guys immediately then, maybe you would fail your exams because you won't be able to study. Maybe Philip will fail his exams. Maybe Junior won't do really well in his GCSEs.
And even Philip, like, obviously when Mommy was going through, like, chemo and stuff, was there any time that you ever, like, suspected that anything was wrong with her?
Yeah, a few times. I kept on asking her, like, how come she was always at home? Because obviously she works NHS as well. And it is hybrid, but she does tend to have to go in. But it seemed that she was kind of just working from home and not going in.
Mm.
So I was thinking, I know she says that she tends to have to go in. So how comes that's not the case? And also, I guess later down as well, when you ended up, like, cutting off your hair. And then I'm not sure if you're going to talk about that part as well, but just how the reasoning that she gave for cutting off the hair, I was already like eyebrows raised. But I was thinking that no one else is saying anything here, so am I just going crazy?
Yeah.
Or so I kind of gave her the benefit of the doubt. But then obviously in hindsight, then I was like, oh, this should have been like the clearest sign of them all. Especially as then you started to seem more and more tired, was going to bed like earlier. But then she does go to bed early in the first place, so it's kind of like hard to differentiate. Yeah. But it was like all the time you're just saying that you're tired. So it's like, there has to be something here.
Mm.
But she was putting on like a strong act, so I couldn't completely tell.
Yeah, even with that, like with you cutting off your hair, because I remember, like, so she would sent like a video of her cutting off of Junior, our little brother. Me and Philip's little brother, not hers, cutting off her hair, and like she sent it in the chat. But like my mum does like social media and she does vlogs, like, just so for me when I saw that video, I said why with a shocked emoji, like, why did you cut off all your hair? Because my mum had like a lot of hair, and so when she cut off all of it, I just thought, oh, like, my mum's just doing that stuff, because I would actually expect her to just do stuff like that. But never, I think, because cancer is something that's always talked about. It's like, oh my days, like, cancer is so big, and like it is like a big thing. So it's like you would never think that it's like close to you, like, let alone your mum having cancer. So when I saw her cut her hair off, I put why with a shock emoji. Like, I was like, whoa. But I never once thought, oh, okay, you know, this thing could actually potentially be cancer. Because like Philip said, it's like you would actually think she's strong. She would be going out on riding her bicycle everywhere. She'll be like doing the washing and stuff like that. So you don't see her. Obviously, like Philip said, she would go to bed early, but naturally she goes to bed early. Like, I think before she would go to bed at like 9, then it went down to 8. So it's like, oh, okay, you know, me too, I want to sleep early anyway. So you don't think like, oh, that's the reason. Also, like, for example, if I'm, you know, at church and I come back, if I'm at midweek service, that finishes maybe at 9. So I'd come back and she'd be sleeping anyway. So it's like, I didn't think too much of it, but yeah. So, I mean, we can get into, like, obviously now you've told daddy and like, now you've started chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And like, how was it like you going to chemotherapy, and like, when was chemotherapy? What was that like?
So my first chemo was the 28th of March. And I had it every week, so every Friday. And I'm usually at home when Junior came back from school. So he would message me that, where are you?
Mm.
And I'm there with the cannula in my arm and the thing going in my body. And I'll be texting him that I'm at church. So what are you doing at church on a Friday? So I said, we have meetings in preparation for Sunday. But I was really in the hospital. So it was every week. And it was like 2 days after the chemo, I would feel like I've just recovered from a long illness. So even coming down the stairs in the morning, it was quite hard. But I had to just, you know, because I didn't want you guys to know that there was anything going on. So about my hair, it started falling out after the very first chemo. I'll comb it. And there was this like huge hair just coming out. So I thought, okay. So I showed daddy. I said, see, all my hair is falling out. So I decided I'll just cut it off, you know. So I just got Junior and said, okay, see, I want to cut off the hair. And then I told you guys that the menopause caused my hair to fall out.
Yeah.
And you all believed, except Philip, who just said, how can the menopause cause your hair to fall out?
No, because in the chat, you didn't say menopause made my hair fall out. You just said I said why, and you just said menopause. So yeah. I thought like, oh, because menopause makes you change. I don't know, not that it made it fall out.
Because I Googled that what can make a woman's hair fall out, and it said the menopause can cause it, and I thought, okay, good. So I just said I'll use that.
Mm.
Yeah, so I just cut it off, even though it's just going to be shedding anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, so cut it all off. And when Junior was shaving it for me, daddy was in tears because he knew why. Mm. And Junior was just telling him, it's just hair, it's just hair, it'll grow back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because daddy was the only one who knew why I had to shave my hair.
Mm.
None of you knew. So,
yeah.
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 Yeah, and even in addition to that, it was like when you cut off the hair and you still told Junior that you were going to church, me and Junior were suspicious because we were saying, oh, she doesn't normally go to church at this time. Where is she? So when you would come back, we looked into your bag and we'll see that you have like church things though. So we thought, oh, that you must have gone to church then. Mm. So I don't know if it was like a church like magazine thing or something from the church, like a, you know, when you have the booklets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we thought, okay, then she did go to church. Yeah. So I don't know if this was like some secret operation that whole time.
That's what we just had that in our bag anyway.
Yeah. So, and then I'll tell the cancer nurses and my doctor that the kids don't know.
Mm.
And sometimes we'll be discussing the patients who were all there having chemo. And I'll be like, oh, my kids don't know. And they'll be like, you're a really strong woman. How can you hide it? I'll say, well, they're going through these exams and stuff. So I can't tell them. I don't want anything to distract them from their exams. Let them just finish everything. Then I'll tell them, you know. And I say, oh, my hair. I just told them it was the menopause that let it fall out. So the doctor, the oncologist, she actually tells when she has a new patient, she told me. And they say, oh, what am I going to tell my kids when my hair starts falling out? Then she said, oh, there's a Tina plan. So she started telling them about me, like, there's a Tina plan. She said, the menopause. And they said, oh, that's a good idea. So I'll use that for my kids. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, so for, okay, now I'm going to take you guys to me. Like, so in my church, we do Jan fast and June fast. So we did a June fast, and the June fast was 40 days. So it even went into July. So it finished on the 10th of July. It was meant to finish, obviously, the 30th, like, 30 days. But then, like, we just did 10 more days. And then, like, on the 7th day of the extra, like, so even in June fast, like, there were so many declarations of cancer, like, oh, cancer's being healed. Like, even my pastor would, like, call us and, like, come to the front, like, if you have a family member who has cancer. And, like, or, like, so many times he would say cancer. And I'd see, like, a sister that I knew that she obviously told me that her mum had cancer at the time. And I would, like, stand with her and stuff. So she would go up for it and many people would go up for it. But obviously at the time I didn't know, so I couldn't go up to receive the prayer. And, like, when he's declaring, oh, healing, healing, like, I would be, amen, amen. Obviously you say amen, but it's not like amen where you're screaming. Like, you know, when it's like, you know that this is for you, you're going to receive it. Then I wasn't receiving it because I'm like, well, I don't have cancer. My family doesn't have cancer. But at the time I didn't know, but he kept, like, declaring healing in that June fast. And then I can take you to, like, how I found out about it. So obviously there was this time, I think it was on the 7th of July, like, I got home and then my dad just came to me, and, like, my little brother has braces, so he goes to orthodontist. And my dad was just like, oh, like, you know, you need to take Junior. Can you take Junior to the orthodontist? Because your mum is sick, your mum is sick. And I'm like, well, how is she sick? Like, what was she sick with? And he just said, I don't know. And for me, I was like, something ain't right. Because I was just like, that's so weird that he's telling me. No, he was literally like, no, please, you have to take him because she's sick. And I'm asking why, and he's trying to, like, avoid it, saying, I don't know. So I was like, well, that's strange. Like, because my dad is not going to lie and say my mom's sick just so that I can take him to the orthodontist. He'll just ask me, like, can you take him? Or she'll just take him anyway. So, because obviously I do later shifts. So, like, his one was in the morning, so I could do it and then go to work. And then I was just like, So then that night I was like, no, I have to do inspection. Also before that, like, Junior was like to me, oh, like, you know, mommy keeps having appointments. And I'm like, at the time, like, I thought her appointments were for, like, you know, eczema and that stuff. So I thought she was getting, like, eczema treatment stuff. So then I thought that's why she was in the hospital. Little did I know, you didn't know, isn't it? And so I was like, okay, this time I'm going to do inspection. From my dad saying, like, you have to take, I was like, no, there has to be something. So, like, I just went to her phone, you know, not saying don't try this at home, maybe, you know.
No,
so
I've changed my PIN now.
So now I can't be trying at home anyway.
My PIN.
So I went to her phone and I was like, like, I need to find something here. So then I went to, like, her messages, and that's when I saw, like, the GP stuff. And that's when it was, like, talking about, like, chemotherapy. They sent a video, like, how to prepare for chemotherapy, and there'd be this appointment, that appointment. And then I was like, let me check, like, if she's texting my dad about it. So I would just, like, check all these things. And then I started taking pictures. Like, there was, like a letter about, like, surgery and stuff like that, which we'll get into, like, the surgery later. And so I was like, so I took pictures, like, just for evidence so I can remember. And then I went upstairs, and then obviously, like, I told Philip. So this is when, you know, Philip can kind of share what he thought in that moment and stuff. But it was like, I was just so shocked. And bear in mind, at this time, I'm still in a season of fasting. Obviously, right at that time, I wasn't fasting because it was past 6 p.m. that I had been eating. But, like, still a period of fasting. Like, when I'd wake up, I'd be fasting. And so I'm just like, whoa, like, this thing is, it's just come to hit you. Also, bear in mind, with my church, we have a theme of the year every single year. And this theme has been declared our year of faith. So we're still in our year of faith. And, like, I remember even at the start of the year or the end of last year, we had, like, a faith camp ahead of, like, the theme of faith. And, like, you know, when I was preaching, I was like, you know, as soon as it's been declared our year of faith, you know, she was like, I literally asked God, okay, faith for what? Because there's faith for something. Like, if it's our year of faith, what is it for? And I was just like, I mean, you never can prepare for something like this. You're not going to expect it. I was like, yeah, our year of faith. And every day, like every time we're in church, every time Sundays, Wednesdays or fasting season, we're saying we walk by faith, not by sight. We're saying, yeah, this is our year of faith. And I'm like, yes, yeah, our year of faith. And then like this situation happened, like, obviously, it was actually the beginning of the year that the situation happened, but I found out basically half into our year of faith. So yeah, the 7th of July, I saw that thing, and then I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to tell Philip. I didn't want to tell like my sister and all that. I didn't want to tell everybody. I just told Philip because, like I said, Philip is a believer. So I was like, you know, like if I'm going to tell somebody, I'm going to tell Philip because I know that we're going to pray. So I messaged Philip, and I was just like, Philip, like, yeah, we need to pray, like, we need to fast, we need to pray, because I've seen this. And then obviously he came to my room, and then we just spoke about it. But yeah, Philip, in that time, like, when I sent that to you, like, what was you kind of thinking? Like, what did you think? Oh, like, it makes so much sense. Like, how was you, like, in that time?
Yeah, so when you sent me the text saying we need to pray, and then, of course, I was asking about what, and you said to come to the room, and then you were showing me what you saw on mom's phone, then I feel like at that moment, that's when all the dots just connected. Mm. So it kind of just hit me. So it was like, I wasn't speaking as much to Didi. It was just more so asking a few like close-end questions just to kind of confirm the thoughts. But at that moment, I was like, yep, everything is making sense now that this is what it is. And then like, especially with myself, I'm like extremely logical. So it was like, boom, just then every single thing connected, from the cutting the hair, from the tiredness, from the working from home, just everything, it came at the same time. So then it was just like, wow, that this is actually real. But then, because obviously Dee Dee's my younger sister, and she's the one who actually saw this, but it didn't seem like he was sort of in the straw, like it's like 100%. So I didn't actually know what to say, because I didn't want to like confirm it to you. Mm. So I was kind of just like trying to hold it in myself when I was there. So that way it's like, cool, you wouldn't be like upset, because especially it was like midnight as well when we were talking. So yeah, and then I feel like, I don't know if you've read like Ecclesiastes, the way how Solomon's just like, everything's meaningless. That's how that's how I was feeling at that point. It was kind of just like, wow, like that when it comes to like working and stuff, because like all children, naturally you want to like make a lot of money, retire your parents, all of this stuff, but then it's like, oh, like wow, life can kind of just go like this. So it kind of just felt like, wow, like what's the point? And then it was just like overwhelming. So it was, yeah, that's literally all of that just happened at the same time. So I was just up the whole night, because I think I just told Dee Dee good night. But then I was just chilling awake. I think she just turned off her light and went to bed after. But I was just awake until like 4 or 5 a.m. And obviously I was up in the next morning to go to work.
Yeah, because I think when I saw it, like, and I saw this video and I saw that and I saw that, like, obviously, for me, I'm like, yeah, no, it definitely, like, I sort of literally saw it say like breast cancer, like breast stuff. So it's like, for me, like, I can know, like, it's just random, like, they're not going to just send you that randomly, they would never. So for me, when I saw everything, like, I was just like, whoa, like, so I had to tell Philip. Then I was just like, okay, cool, like, obviously I was like, I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna tell like my pastor, like, you know, just actually stand in the gap and pray. And I think because we was in the fasting season, our year of faith, everything was just a lot. Like, so for like a week, I think I was like it was just, I think it didn't process until like a week later. So it's like in that time, I went to church the next day, and it was a Wednesday, and then like pastor called up like an altar call, and it was just like, oh, anybody that like, if you need like urgent prayers, come to the front. And so I was like, cool, like I'm gonna go to the front. Like, obviously I don't know confirmed yet, because even like when I that morning, like I texted my mom and I was like, oh, like, do you have surgery? And then she was just like, oh, like, you know, have you had a dream or something? Because, you know,
vision.
Yeah, have you had a vision? So I guess my mom thought, like, you know, God has revealed something to her, like God has said something. So she was asking me, like, have you had a dream? And I was just like, do you have surgery? And she was just like, come downstairs. So then when I went downstairs, she was just telling me, like, no, like, it's not that. And obviously I didn't really believe, because it's like, I've seen it, but she just wasn't saying it yet. And so obviously when I went to church, like, I went up to the front, and then when I literally got to the front and she was praying for me, like, she literally said, oh, like, I'm literally like hearing that cancer is no more, like cancer will not stand. Like, she was just declaring that, and I was just like receiving it. I was just crying. And then, yeah, now I went to my seat and I just had to believe God. And then obviously the next day was the last day of the fast. But yeah, even in the time when I like was texting you saying, do you have surgery? Like, what was kind of going through your mind?
So I was really cross with your dad. What did you tell Didi? We're trying to keep this from the kids. What did you tell her? Oh, I didn't say nothing. What do you mean? You know, you told Didi I'm sick. And now she's gone through my phone. She's seen all these messages. We were going to keep it from them. Not now. We will tell them, but not now. What's wrong with you? You know, so he was saying that, no, he didn't tell you anything. He didn't tell you anything. I said, you obviously did. If you wanted her to take Junior to the orthodontist, you could have said, I've got a meeting. You know, I've got an appointment somewhere. You didn't have to say your mom's sick. Because obviously, you know, I've never been sick. You know, I don't fall sick. So the kids have never seen me sick. And you said she's sick. So what do you expect her to think? So I wasn't pleased with him at all. I said, she's been crying now. You see what you've done. And yeah. So, but because I did tell your dad, I said, it's quite strange. Didi prays a lot. Philip prays a lot. So how come God hasn't revealed this to any of them? You know, does it mean God's forgotten me or he's not remembering me or nothing? And then Daddy said, Philip had a dream. I think this was even before I found the lump. Philip had a dream and he told Daddy about it concerning me. And Daddy said, okay, we'll just pray about it. You know, just rebuke death, you know, on your mom. So he told me then. He didn't tell me when Philip told him. So I said, oh, okay. You know, so, and then some people will message me on like Instagram. I said, when I was praying this morning, the Holy Spirit led me to pray for you. I don't know what it is, you know, but I'm praying for you. And I'll be like, okay, God is remembering me. Yeah, because I did not make any video about it on any of my socials because I didn't want any fake prophecies. I didn't want people to say, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, because they've seen my videos. So I just wanted it to come without nobody knowing. So then I was thinking, oh, this is why Nebuchadnezzar said, tell me the dream and the interpretation. Because if he told them the dream, they could say anything.
Yeah, and he wouldn't
so,
know.
Yeah, so if I made the video, I said, guys, I'm going through this. All these prophecies will start coming. Well, which one is genuine? Mm. You know, which one is real? Mm. Yeah, because now you've known my business. You can now come and prophesy. And say, God said this. Mm. And I didn't want to be deceived. I didn't want my hopes to be raised and dashed for nothing. That's why I just kept it. So anyone like that says, or some will comment under my video and say, you're not like the Auntie Tina we know. You look different. It's like something's wrong. So, you know, the Lord is your shepherd. I'm praying for you and stuff. Mm. Those ones I believed. Like, okay, yeah, God's still... But I wasn't pleased with your dad for even saying that. He said he didn't say anything, but yeah, even still saying your mom is sick, you know, obviously, you know, they're going to start. And I said she went to my, so I changed my pin same day.
Well, I already seen it, so I don't know why I did that.
Well, same day I changed it.
Yeah, and so even in this time, like, so now, Philip, like, we found out, well, kind of, and then, like, you even finding out that you had the lump, for us as people of faith, like, how was that like for your faith? Like, would you say that it made you like pray more, or like did it make you doubt more? Like, what was it like?
Well, to be quite honest with you, when they said I'm going to start chemo in March, so that March I just got all your birthday presents ready, not because I thought I was going to die, but when I went on cancer forums, people were saying how chemo made them feel like really exhausted. They could hardly do anything. Even to get to the bathroom, their partner had to help them. And I thought, would I be able to go out and get your birthday presents? You know, how would I feel? Because I don't know how chemo will make me feel. I was a teacher in the church, and I couldn't teach because the doctor said, you can't be around little kids, because they carry germs and your immune system is now compromised. But initially she didn't tell me that. So, but I took myself off the rota, and then the two leaders in the Sunday school called me one Sunday, I was actually teaching, but this was before chemo, and they said, why did you take yourself off the rota? And then I had to tell them that I've just got this diagnosis and I'll be going through chemo and I don't know how I'm going to feel. You know, would I be able to teach? Would I be exhausted? Before then, the doctor said, you can't be around kids anyway. So I had to step down. So because of that, so I got all the birthday presents from March. I got them ready up to November, which is the last birthday. Everything, wrapped them up. I got the cards, give it to your dad, sign, you sign. Because your birthday presents are always like from mom and dad. But I always sort it out. So I sorted it out in March. I said, life doesn't have to stand still because I'm sick. You still have to have your birthdays. You know, so I did that. And then even the week before my results, after my surgery, which we'll talk about, I then got all your Christmas presents ready. Because I thought, I don't know what they're going to say. Am I going to have more chemo? Yeah. So I got everything ready. So I wasn't thinking I would die, but, you know, you guys, life still has to go on. You still have to have your birthdays, even though I'm sick. That shouldn't stop. Yeah, so. But I was just thinking, if I perish, I perish, you know. If it's time, it's time. You can't stop it. So I don't know, maybe because I've had a near-death experience when I was much younger, and I was going through that tunnel, you know, and like that. But before I got sucked out, I came back. So I'm kind of like not scared, because it's like I know what to expect. And when it starts happening anyway, you can't stop it. If it's time, it's time. Yeah, you can't stop it. But your dad just kept on saying, well, no, you need to fight before me and the kids, you know, for you can't just give up. I said, that's why I'm doing the chemo. So I'm not giving up. But if it's time, it's time. Yeah.
I think it was like that constant battle and it just kind of lingering in the mind. But then, of course, then the only thing you can do is kind of like depend on the word. So you have to just like believe the scripture. Because if we like declare and we're saying that, you know, that God's word never fails, it's never like changed or anything, then it must still remain. So it's sort of just kind of pondering on that and saying that, no, but your word does say this, so like how can this be? This can't be like the end. And then, like what my mom was saying, like especially with Junior, because he's the youngest and he's not even 18 yet, so I was thinking about him as well, that obviously like be a big impact on him, because he's like very close with my mom as well, like they're always going up and down everywhere. So I was thinking, like, I don't know how he would take this, if he can even like process properly, like what's going on compared to the rest of us. So that's kind of how I was at.
Yeah. So like for me, I think obviously the first week it was like, I was just on go. I was like, wow. Like, cause I was so praying about it, and obviously it was in fasting, and then we finished fasting, but I just kept praying. And like, cause I had told my pastor, like she was really like standing in prayer with me, like, Dee Dee, what's the update? And she would just pray for me. So I'm like, cool. Like for the first week, I was so calm. I was like, wow, God, like this peace you've given. I was like, wow, the Bible says peace. That's a positive understanding. I was like, yeah, I've got joy. Like I'm actually so fine. And then it was like, another Sunday, like I think it was the Sunday after. Okay, so yeah, before I get into that, we can get into like when you told us, because obviously you told us. So I found out on the 7th and then you told us on the 13th. So the 13th, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, July anyway.
Yeah, July the 13th. Because I found out July the 7th and then you told us.
The 13th.
Yeah.
I waited for Junior to finish his GCSEs and to finish his graduation. So once he did all of that, then I said, okay, I told Daddy that we can now tell the kids. And when I told the doctor, she said, this is the right time to tell them, because she's changing my medication. And the one I'm going to be on now is stronger. So I won't have it every week. It's the last four. I'll have it every other week. The nickname for it is Red Devil. So that shows you how potent it is. It's going to make me really sick, and I may not be able to hide this from you guys. So I should tell you. So that's when we planned this dinner and you all came together, and then I told you. And so I saw how upset you all were, you know, in tears, and I thought, oh, maybe I've made a big mistake. I shouldn't have told you guys because you're now upset, you know. But then because you started praying and fasting, so I thought, okay, maybe it's a good thing because you all came together as one. That was really good. Even Daddy was quite surprised about how you all came together, united, and you were praying and fasting in support. And that did lift me up spiritually because, like, nobody knew. There was just those two Sunday school leaders, and there was then my managers at work. My colleagues didn't know. No one knew, our neighbors, nobody. So it was just Daddy. But then you guys now joined hands with Daddy and you were all praying. So that was good.
Mm, yeah. And I think it's even crazy because I have a friend from church and she, like, is a nurse, literally in the hospital that, like, mum was at all the time. And, like, just one day she was just asking me, like, oh, what's your surname? What's your surname? It was so random. Like, she was asking me, what's your surname? And I was like, what's your surname again? And I was like, oh, like, I told her my surname. And I was like, why? Like, I was thinking, oh, she get me a gift or something. Like, I don't know if she's trying to get my name. I told her it anyways. And then I was like, oh, why? And she's like, I'll tell you later. So, like, I didn't think too much of it. Like, I wouldn't have thought, oh, she's trying to know. But the reason what she told me, like, she was trying to get my surname is because, obviously, at the time, she would see, like, my mum going to the hospital because she works, like, with cancer patients. Mm. And, like, she would see, obviously, the surname. And then she saw, like, me post my mum, like, on WhatsApp. And then she was like, oh, like, I need to get the surname to check. Like, is this actually her? And then, obviously, she processed it. And I think it's even crazy because months before that, like, she was going to come to my house, like, because my mum was going to do her wig, Kane Rose. So it's like... But then she ended up just, she lives kind of far from us and she was like busy. So she was doing stuff. So she ended up going Croydon to do it. And then, like, it's so mad because she was even saying to me, like, oh, if I came, it would have just been crazy because then she would have actually seen my mom. And it's like, I didn't know, but she knew. And it was just so hard for her, like, because obviously you would want to tell me, but you can't, like, you can't do that. So, yeah, I just found that even crazy because, like, she actually was going to come to the house. And it just would have been so awkward for her. But yeah, at the time she didn't even know, like, that's not why she didn't come. It's because she just literally got held up. So that was literally crazy. But yeah, like,
so I was in the hospital, she said, are you Didi's mom? And I said, yeah, how do you know? She said, I saw your picture on Didi's story, you know. So I didn't say anything though. So does she know? And I said, yeah, I only told her like last week or a couple of days ago. So she knows now. She was like, so how did she take it? I said, she was quite upset. I said, oh, this is why she... Because they all knew that my kids don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, so I said, well, I just told them that. So she knows now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And literally, because on the day that she told us, so the 13th, like, I was doing... So I have a friend from church and she, like... She was like, obviously, she told me months before that her mum had cancer. And, like, I was just standing with her, praying with her, just telling her it is well. Like, you know, it's going to be fine. Like, God's going to go ahead and all of that stuff. And then, like, on the 13th of July, literally the day that she told us that of her diagnosis, we do, like, in testimony, like, in church, we do testimonies. And with testimonies, we do walk-ups. So it's like somebody will walk up with the person who's sharing the testimony to, like, introduce the testimony. So I was chosen to do her walk-up for her testimony when she was... testifying that her mom had been, like, healed from cancer. So I did the walk up and I was like, yeah, hallelujah, like, God is real, like, God is here, like, God's healed her mom from cancer, like, testifying, happy, excited for her. And then obviously shared her testimony. And even today, like, I was reading Matthew 9 and we could see, like, Jairus, you know, the centurion, and we saw the woman with the issue of blood. And it's so interesting because the centurion, like, came to Jesus, said, listen, like, my daughter has died, like, can you come, because I know if you come, like, she will live again. And then the woman with the issue of blood now came and touched Jesus. So obviously while he's on the way to go to the house to obviously, you know, allow the daughter to live again, the woman with the issue of blood stops him. So obviously he stays there for a bit longer. And then, you know, she touches the hem and then says, oh, your faith has made you well. And then obviously Jairus is seeing all of that. And then Jairus now, and it's so interesting because Jairus needed that, like, to be able to see that God actually, he's in the business of healing. So because Jairus was able to see the encounter with the woman with the issue of the blood, the fact that Jesus had just healed her, it, like, can boost his faith that, wow, like, Jehovah Rapha, like, he's a healer. And so I always say, like, her testimony, I think it was so timely, like, the fact that I even did the walk-up testimony, like, mm-hmm. because you can do, there was other people that shared testimony, they could have chosen me to do a different person, or I didn't have to do walk-up that day, because I don't do it all the time, you know, so I just feel like that was divinely given by God, for God to show me, because that was the very day that I was going to find out, like, confirmation that, like, her diagnosis, that was the confirmation day, and it's like that's the day that I like was walking up somebody sharing their testimony that their mom had been healed. Their mom had been healed from cancer. It's literally the same. Like, I remember I did a walk-up testimony for someone who passed their theory test after the three tries. And then me too, I passed it on the fourth. After I did that walk-up, I said, yeah, you have to. So even in this time too, I was like, yeah, that was something that's like, God was so intentional for that on the 14th, the 13th of July. And it was so crazy. Like, when we found out, it was like, I knew already, but it was like, now I know. Like, now it's deep. So then I can go back, because obviously I was asking them about their faith, like how did it, you know, did it affect their faith? Did it boost their faith? Obviously, like I said, for a week, it was so calm for me. Like I was like, yeah, joy. Like I was just calm. Like I was actually calm. Like I was just like, yeah, God is in control. But then there was just one time that I was just sitting down and I was just like explaining it to my pastor. And then after that, it was just like, well, because I actually explained it, like everything she told us on the 13th of July, I was explaining it to her, to my pastor. And then after that, boy, like it actually hit for real. Then I was like, whoa, like this is actually real. I remember from then, like I just kept crying all the time. Like it was just too much. But also at the same time, like I did have faith, because it's like, for example, I'm at church at the time, I'm serving, whatever. Like people wouldn't have it, like expected that this was something that was on the other end. It's like you're serving, you come, you're smiling, you're dancing, you're praising. Because I'm like, God is still good regardless. I think sometimes when situations happen, it's like, oh God, you've done this thing, so I'm just going to be moody, I'm just going to be angry. But it's like, even Job says, should I only accept good things from the Lord? So I was like, even in this time, like I'm still going to serve, like I'm still going to go to the front. Like one thing about me is I dance when I'm in church, and I'll still go to the front and dance. So it's like after that, maybe when I'm going home, I might start crying, but it's like in the time I'm still going to praise, because it's like that's the thing that was strengthening me. And even, okay, before we get back into you, like even another thing was just crazy. Like I was so I work, obviously, like I was talking about BBC, like I work there. And like, there was this one time, there was like a study that was showing that 22-year-olds are like not happy. Like older people are more happy than younger people. Cause you know, you have midlife crisis. They were saying now it starts from younger. So because I'm literally 22, well, I'm 22 next week. Like there was like, oh, like can you come on air and talk about happiness, like are you happy? And I was just like, wow, like deep. So then I ended up just saying a deep thing. I was just like, you know what, happiness is based on happenings, but joy is from the spirit. Because it's like, in that time I might not quote unquote be happy, because you know, mom's going through this thing, it's hard, but it's like it was good. Like God did that intentionally just to remind me that joy is actually of the spirit. So regardless of the situation, like you can still be joyous. That's why I was able to like serve and do all those things and look like, oh, Didi's so calm, because it's like at deep rooted is joy. And obviously I have Jesus, so I have joy. But I think it was so good, because you can think that you have faith, like you can say like, oh yeah, this is our year of faith, but I have faith in Jesus, I believe he can do everything. Even with my sister whose mum had cancer, and I was telling her, yes, you know, it's gonna be fine, like it's gonna be fine. And then when it came to me, like it was like, now I need to remember those words that I gave. So like, even in the time, was there any scriptures that you guys were holding on to? I was holding on to like John 11:4. I think this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory like of God. So I was always like, there's something, like the glory of God has to be revealed in this. And what about you guys? Any scriptures?
Well, the Sunday school teacher, she would just call me and say, oh, God says you will see your children's children. So you should be repeating that you'll be seeing your, yeah. So she always called me to tell me that.
Mm. Yeah, I was holding on to quite a few scriptures, like all kind of interconnected in a way, but also different in themselves. Like John 10:10, where Jesus is saying, you know, like the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy, but that he's come to give life, and life to like the fullest, or life more abundantly. And then also in John again, where he's saying that those that believe, that out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Amen. So it was sort of just looking into these scriptures, and especially with that one that connects back to in Isaiah. So it was like Jesus saying, as scripture said, and that's from Isaiah as well, when he prophesies that. And then again, I guess the significance with Isaiah is that he was the one who told Hezekiah about the prophecy that he was gonna pass away, so that he should get his house in order. And then of course Hezekiah accepted that at the time, but then as soon as Isaiah left, you know, he wept, prayed to God. So it was sort of like, especially our dad, when he was praying as well, you know, he said that like Hezekiah, more years will be added on to our life. Amen. And we're saying amen. And as exactly like that, with Hezekiah, 15 more years was added on. So it was just like, yes, like all of these verses, they will come to life. Like this won't be the end. This will just be like to show God's glory, just like with Lazarus. And that's what the pastor told me as well, that this will show God's glory. And that's kind of what we were praying about when we were fasting. Yeah. So it was interesting to see it all come along.
Yeah, I think it's so true, because even in the time, like when you're going through something, like you always have to have a word that you're holding on to, because I think it really encouraged me. Like, that's why testimonies are also important, because like her testimony, her mum was literally healed. And it's like, that's the same God who can do it again. And just standing on the scriptures, like, oh, this is going to be for God's glory. Because sometimes when you're in the midst of something, it's like, God, why have you brought this bad thing? But it's like, in that, God is going to receive the glory, and in that also is going to be a testing and refiner of your faith. Because in that time, it's like we only had to hold on to faith and trust in God and keep praying and keep believing, because that's the only thing that can help us. Yeah, crying and all of that, yeah, you're going to cry, but at the end of the day, it's the prayer, it's you trusting in God, fasting. Like, many times I fasted, I literally got my friend and said, yeah, can you fast with me, and we just keep fasting for my mom. Like, boy, I don't like fasting at all. Like, who actually likes fasting? But I had to fast. I had to fast. It was helping me fast and pray and just believe in God for a change of story. And literally in the time, like, my pastor was so amazing. Like, she would just keep interceding, keep praying. And so, like, for example, now we can get into the surgery and day of surgery. How was that like for you? Obviously, before the surgery, we fasted. Was it a 3-day fast? We fasted as a family ahead of the surgery, just believing God that he would do something. Like, because obviously she went through the chemo, I think it was 20 rounds. And then after that, the last thing was now surgery. So yeah, talk us through the surgery.
Yeah, so I had a mastectomy. Well, knocked out, obviously, on the general. So didn't know what was happening. Woke up in the recovery room and I just heard, and the surgery went well, you know, so I woke up and yeah. So it was 2 weeks after when I then went for the follow-up to find out what had happened. And then I was told they got all the cancer, everything, so you're cancer free. So, but they were deliberating whether I should do radiotherapy or not, even though there's no cancer. So they came to the conclusion that, okay, I should do 5 days worth. So in case if there's any minuscule cell, it would just completely just die. So they said, we're really sorry, but we just want you to do this as a precaution. So I've got that booked in. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And the day of that, you know, just fasting. I think I fasted 3 days also, like when we was gonna find out the detail, like basically the results of the surgery. And literally that morning, like my pastor literally called me, it was like 8 a.m. and she was just praying. It's like, God, like, remember Dee Dee for her labor, like, it's gonna be well, we're gonna hear good news, like, we're gonna rejoice, that like, it's gonna be well for her mom. Like, she was just praying. I was just writing down every prayer just to stand on that, like, just believing God that yes, like, my pastor has prayed, I have prayed, we have fasted, like, we're really gonna see the fruit. And literally I remember, like, I was just waiting, I was just at work because it was a Thursday. And I was just waiting for the results. And at that time, like, there wasn't people in the office because I started earlier than them. Well, there was people in the office, not in my team. And then literally my dad dropped a message and it was just like, yeah, they said they got all the cancer. I literally rushed to the toilet and I just started, like, I just started praying. And I started crying, like, I was crying. And I told Pastor, she was celebrating with me. So I just literally replied straight away. She was so happy. I was so happy. It was just, I was dancing, everything.
I went to ring the bell.
Yes. I told her to ring the bell. That was so nice. So how did you feel when they said, like, they got all the cancer? And then Philip, you can share after.
I don't know. Maybe it's just my stiff upper lip. I had no reaction. It was your dad. He was like, I think he just wanted to jump up, you know, and just like scream. Because when we left the doctor's office, he was started singing in his Ghanaian songs and like was tearful. His voice was all teary. And I'm like, don't set me off now, you know, because I'm strong. So you're just going to make me start crying. So he was more happy than you would think it's him who they told. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then so it was when I was ringing the bell that I did get emotional. And I thought, okay, you know, it's actually over. Yeah, because I was planning that no matter what the doctor says, I am going to tell you guys that it's over, that they got it all, because I could see how upset you were all getting. So that was my plan, that no matter what the doctor says. But fortunately, it was good news. And I told Daddy that you have to post it on the group so that they can believe. Yeah.
And for you, Philip, how was it like?
Yeah, I think it like showcased all of us that we serve a living God.
Mm.
And of course, God has many names as well, and they all have different meanings. As you keep mentioning that, like Jehovah Rapha, like we got to see that firsthand,
yeah.
Especially because when our mom told us about it, she was saying that this cancer, of course, is aggressive cancer.
Mm.
And especially if you look a few years ago, the sort of medications they had then
mm.
wasn't the same as what they have now.
Yeah.
So it was quite like a higher chance that this could end in fatality and like could end bad. So it's like, wow, just a few years ago. So it's not long ago at all.
Yeah.
And even still now, it's not like that is like an easy cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It still is one of the most aggressive out of the cancers. So for it to now just get the all clear,
mm-hmm.
it was just like, wow, like, yes, God is still
yeah.
here with us.
Yeah, I agree. Like, honestly, also, it's just a blessing. Like, I think no one could have, like, anticipated that this was going to be, like, the year going through this. And obviously, harder for you because we only basically found out in the middle of the year, basically near the ending of it. So we knew for, like, 2 months and then you was healed
yeah.
by God's grace. And it was, like, it was nice because it just enabled us to rely on Jesus and even to come together fasting and praying. And then we've really seen God move. And it's like, yeah, like God will, even if you serve God, it doesn't mean that you are never going to go through things because hello, like we serve Jesus, we go hard for Jesus. And me always, I serve Jesus. And it's like, still this thing happened. But it's like, even in that, God is still good. And so you always have to still remember to rely on him and to trust in him. And so I just want this kind of testimony of my mom to be an encouragement to people that if you are going through something, you have family member, like just trust in God. Because at the end of the day, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. And, you know, one thing that stuck to me from service was that if it's not good yet, like it's not done, because it says all things work together for good. So our good, yeah, it might be different to what God has anticipated because his ways are not our ways. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be for good. Mm. And so, yeah, in this time, literally been so hard and like people be, oh, what, like, ah, it'd be so deep. But God is literally so good. And yeah, like my mom's been healed from cancer. So yeah, we just wanted to share that testimony and yeah, be an encouragement to you guys. And yeah, before we end, I want to give someone the opportunity to give their life to Christ. So giving your life to Christ is you believing in Jesus, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that he died, rose again on the third day just to save you. If you are someone and you're like, you know what, Jesus is actually real, he can do all things, I want to give my life to him, repeat after me. Amen. Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, and on the third day you rose again just to save me. I repent for my sins and I invite you into my life. I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and my personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have given your life to Christ, please reach out to me, dd.kay on K-A-Y-Y on Instagram. And yeah, follow my mom, you know, 1 minute with Tina everywhere, TikTok, Instagram, and
YouTube.
And yeah, she's gonna be, you know, posting more frequently now by God's grace. Obviously she's still like getting stronger and stuff, but she's literally recovered. So make sure you follow her there. And Philip, do you want to say anything?
Thank you for watching.
And yeah, the last thing is, what thing would you say to anyone that yeah is battling anything?
Yeah, just find a couple of people that you can trust, you know, strong Christians, if you're going through anything, so they can, you can all stand together and they can pray with you. Don't keep it to yourself. I it was just me and Daddy, but when you guys joined and the prayers, that really really helped. So just find some people, not pessimistic people that will tell you, oh, this can't be cured, you're dead.
Hey.
You know, just optimistic people, strong, faith-filled people that will lift you up.
Yeah, my friend Chris, he's a big example of that. He kept on calling me late at night. He'll stay, he'll be preaching, just saying prayers. So he just kept on doing it consistently. So it did like edify me and it did encourage me. And of course, Justine as well was there. So yeah, I think that's a big thing, as you mentioned, to have people around you that are also believers and they do fuel you with the word so that you can stay grounded rather than losing faith and then becoming like in despair rather than having that that
hope. Yeah, not like Job's friends. He's like, curse God and die, or wife, curse God and die. Yeah, bad. So even me too, I had friends who were strength for me. They would show up. I was crying and say, I'm going to come to your house. We're going to go do a prayer walk. And we did a prayer walk. So I've got great friends, great pastor, great church, great people, and a great God. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for watching. And I hope you enjoyed. And bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.